guys. Look at us being more consistent now.
I know, right?
So welcome back to the 2020 Vision podcast. And well, happy to see you all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to say.
What else? Well, you already know what it is. She's divine.
Yeah.
I'm Sharon. It's a new episode. Look at the colors that we're wearing. Right? It works so well, doesn't it? Okay, no, let's focus. So today we are doing a different topic. Even though we said we're gonna do a part two, but it was like, do you know what? Let's do something a little different, shake it up a bit. So today we're going to speak about the term faith alone. So Divine, do you wanna start with faith alone? How are we gonna do this? Do you wanna explain?
Faith, okay. So for those who has been with us from the beginning, when we did the podcast, we did an episode based on faith.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about how to live through faith and how do we use it into our day-to-day lives. So for me, like, the definition of faith, I would say, is Hebrews 11:1.
Mm-hmm.
However, I feel like faith can't be something that has to be spoken. It has to be, it's an action kind of thing. So that's why, like, there's a saying, action speaks louder than words.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like it just depends on how you are taking that faith and how you're building on it in order to get an outcome kind of thing.
Yeah, I see. I get that. I agree, yeah. I feel like not only that, but where it says in the Bible that faith without works is dead.
Exactly.
As well. But there are different ways of displaying that, isn't there?
I think it depends on mm-hmm. how you take it. Like, if you say, like, a workplace or something, you pray to God and be like, yeah, God, I need this job.
Mm-hmm.
But then you don't, like, update your CV. You don't make effort to do the interview. Like, that's just you having faith in something and you're not even doing the hard work. So, basically, the bottom line of faith is a 50-50 thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you have to do your part. And God will do their part.
Mm.
So obviously God will do their part because it's part of the will. But if you don't do your part, then you're just going to delay that blessing from coming.
I agree. So. Yeah, it is a 50-50 thing. Because obviously we always plan our episodes before we come into it.
Yeah.
And we are looking at the phrase faith alone. And when we looked at it, we realized that there's two ways of looking at it. There's two interpretations. That's what we said. So we said that one of them, when we say faith alone, that the first one is that we believe that faith alone will allow God to save us. So it's like, you don't do anything else.
Mm.
You show your faith, you practice your faith, and that's what's going to allow God to use us or okay. to bless us or whatever, whatever. And then the second interpretation that we had was literally the word faith alone, in the sense that you are carrying and practicing your faith and, you know, your relationship with God alone. So by yourself.
Mm.
And I feel like that's something that as, you know, young adults, teens, mm-hmm. it's something that needs to be spoken about.
Yeah.
Because fellowship is great, but the relationship is personal.
Yes.
So, yeah. So that's basically what we're going to be discussing this episode. So which one do you want to start with first?
Well, let's start with the first one.
Okay, then.
So that's, because I believe that's like the basic of learning of how faith works and
mm-hmm.
how you can develop on it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the scripture that you put here is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 9.
Mm-hmm.
We say, for it is by... You use the Amplified version!
Ah! It's great.
Oh, my gosh. You have no idea how much I love this version. Okay. For it is by grace, God's remarkable compassion and favor drawing you to Christ.
Brackets.
That you have been saved, actually delivered from judgment and given eternal life.
Bracket.
Through faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves, not through your own effort, but it is the undeserved, gracious gift of God, not as a favor of your works, nor your attempts to keep the law, so that no one will be able to boast or take credit in anywhere for his salvation.
Let's just clap for that. That's great.
Amplified version.
Do you know what? Let's just, a quick side note, because I put the verses down. So Divine didn't know this.
No, I didn't.
I put the verses down. And I decided when it comes to the podcast, I think the amplified version is the best 100%. To make it exactly clear which point of view we're coming from. Mm-hmm. Because obviously they all basically mean the same thing. You know, ESV, NIV, NKJV. But I feel like with the extra stuff, it makes clear as to what we're talking about, because this is what we're going to be referring to. So it's kind of just like a side note, we're using AMP. Like if you read in NIV or NKJV, it might not have that whole
extra part,
but it's just so you know. But yeah.
Yeah.
So what do we take from that?
Well, from this version, I really like the first sentence.
Mm-hmm.
So when it says, "For it is by grace, God's remarkable compassion and favor drawing you to Christ, and you have been saved and actually delivered from judgment and given eternal life through faith." And I feel like that is very important, because God loves us. God wants us to have a good life, and he wants us to receive all the gifts and the blessings that he wants to give to us. And it's saying that through his own compassion, that is helping us to draw closer to Christ. And because of our faith, we're being delivered from the judgment of the world, and we're being brought closer to God, which is giving us the eternal life for our next salvation. So this is that, just that part alone really explain on how your faith works with God. Because without God, you won't be able to be drawn to Christ. You won't be able to receive that compassion, that something that will make you feel like relieved, like you don't need to feel, I don't know, like you feel judged in the world. Because when you're not judged by the world, you only focus on what God says about you and not what the world says about you. So that's what I feel like. I really like this verse.
I do too. Do you know what? With what you were saying, I feel like there are many, in my opinion, there are many formulas, hidden formulas in the Bible, but this is one of them. Right? It's basically saying that faith equals grace plus deliverance from judgment plus eternal life.
Chill.
You know what I mean?
Where did that come from? What?
I feel like it's, you know the idea, you know, mate, God doesn't play around with what he puts in his Bible. You know how a mustard seed creates a mountain? Faith of a mustard seed creates a mountain. That's exactly it here. You see, something as small as faith can bring you something so big as grace, give you something so big like deliverance, give you something so big like eternal life. I feel like it's all a formula. In order to have access to this, obviously it says that you need to believe in God. But in order to believe in God, you need to have faith as well. You know, it comes hand in hand. So yeah, I feel like that's what that first part of the verse means. It's faith that gives us a key to so many things that God wants to give us. But like we were saying in the last episode, I remember it's a two-way system. You can get the key and you can open the door, but the door needs to open, you know? So it's a two-way thing. If you give yourself, if you apply that faith, you know, if you show your faith, then it brings everything else, everything somehow, ways that we don't understand, somehow everything will fall into place.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So yeah, what about the second part, the second sentence?
Okay, so carrying and practicing your faith alone. So not with anyone else, but your personal relationship with God. So what you wrote here, Psalm 63, verse 1 to 2. Okay, so it says, "Oh God, you are my God. With deepest longing, I will seek you. My soul, my life, my very self. I love that part. My soul, my life, my very self thirst for you.
Mm-hmm.
My flesh longs and sighs for you. In dry and weary land where there is no water, so I have gazed upon you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. King David was snapping here.
Yeah.
Oh!
It sounds very passionate and sincere. It's very which is passionate. What I love about it.
Yeah, but that's another thing, because when you continue to build on your faith, that's how it builds your desire to follow God as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously David went through a lot of things. Mm-hmm. But the one thing that God loved about him was the way that he was able to express his emotions, his feelings, his whatever that he's going through to God.
Mm-hmm.
And because he allowed himself to be vulnerable under God, that's how he was able to receive all the blessings that he had in life.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that's really important,
mm-hmm.
to be vulnerable.
I agree. I think this verse is, obviously, the Bible's too big. Mm-hmm. I'm gassing up the Bible because the Bible is just that.
Yeah.
It's just that book, you know. But this is one of the many times in the Bible which I feel like encaptures how it should be like with your relationship with God. Like, keep in mind how he says, my God, I will seek you, my soul, my flesh. It's all personal pronouns.
Mm-hmm.
If we analyze this very quickly, he makes this very possessive. It's to him, it's his personal thing that he's holding on for.
Yeah.
And I felt like that relates to the second interpretation of your personal relationship with God, meaning that it's just you and him.
Yeah.
Your whole being has to be, you know, wanting him, to have the desire for him. It can't be like, yes, I want to do it, but I can only do it if someone's next to me or if I have this next to me. It just has to be you. It just has to be you and yourself, you and your soul, you and your spirit, because everyone gets their salvation right, but we don't do our salvation with people.
Yeah.
Our salvation is for ourselves. Our relationship, our blessings, our deliverance, everything that we get from God, it hits us and then it transmits to other people. That's the reason why there's such thing called a point of contact. Mm. You have that one point that everything else, like, let's say, divine is a blessing. Divine gets blessings. I want divine to be a point of contact for me. The blessings will go to divine. And if I want them, if I want just a little smidge of what she has, I have to go to divine. And that's the reason why I'm trying to emphasize that it's a personal thing. When you see people testify, you don't see people testify with a, you know, this person did that, this person did this.
No,
when they talk,
yeah.
When someone testifies about what God has done, it's about what they've personally done to them and how it affects everyone else.
Yeah.
You know? So,
well, this leads me to a question.
Mm-hmm.
So, being in a personal thing, then why must people be in a fellowship to continue that relationship with God? And then what is the difference between a personal relationship and a relationship with other Christians?
Mm. Well, should I answer that first?
Oh, yes.
Okay. This is my personal understanding. I'm always going to say that. Fellowship is great. Fellowship is important. I can tell you this for a fact. If it wasn't for the fellowship that I had in our church, I would not be as firm in my faith. Why would that? That was like a foundation to my faith. So fellowship is incredibly important.
Yeah.
However, you shouldn't, what's the word? I wouldn't say that fellowship can't determine your relationship with God. You shouldn't have to be able to rely on someone else all the time in order for you to communicate with God, you know? Because when God calls that person and they have their own thing, and sometimes, you know, a little bit of distance is needed,
yeah.
What are you going to do? You're going to wait for them to come back? That's the thing. But then at the same time, like, I find, recently I've been understanding the importance of fellowship. And what's funny is that I can say one thing. My best friend will probably watch this. Me and my best friend, we were really good friends for like a year and a bit. We met in sixth form. But what was the foundation of our best friend's last sisterhoodship was God. That's what brought us close together. Mm. We fellowshipped all the time, sharing word, praying with each other during exams, you know, giving words of encouragement, words of faith. And that's great. But I know that where she is right now, it wasn't only because of me. She did her own personal thing, you know, and now she's a blessing. So now I like to see her as my one of my many points of contacts, you know. I think it applies with us as well. Oh, yeah. Our relationship was built off fellowship. Like, we were essentially born and raised in the same church.
Yeah.
But then we became close because of the fellowship that our church was doing.
Yeah.
And then it's what our podcast brought us, like, yeah, really close together. Really close. And all of that was because of fellowship. But I can say, like, when Divine was away, when we wasn't able to do podcast, Divine had the time to strengthen herself spiritually, and so did I. So it's great that we both have each other, but it's not like I should be using you as a crutch, or you should be using me as a crutch to be able to get to God, because that's too dependent. And arguably, it could be idolatry. When you idolize a friendship or you idolize a fellowship more than you idolize your relationship with Christ, that's when it becomes a problem.
Yeah.
So fellowship is important. Fellowship is very important, but fellowship shouldn't determine your faith and your relationship with God. 100%. That's what I meant to say.
No, 100%.
What do you think?
What I could add on that,
mm-hmm.
Not everyone is going the same route that you are living. Everyone has their own path. It may seem like you're going on the same path, but not every path has the same visual, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I get that.
So, like, I don't know, that one path can be the same, but it's dark and twisty, and another path can be flowers and lovely or whatever your path is. So what I say is important to be in a fellowship, but then it's also important to maintain your relationship in God. Because I can't lie, based on what I've seen on social media and everything, I've seen people idolizing the fellowship more than relationship in God.
Mm.
Like, what are you doing with your pastor past 10 p.m.? I'm sorry.
Excuse me?
I'm so sorry. Because
okay,
that is not relationship with God. That is your relationship with your pastor.
That's when I disconnect. And I'm not involved.
I'm sorry, but I have to say, some people see their pastor as their God.
Yes,
and
sorry.
It's bad, because even though, like, asking advice is okay, asking for spiritual advice is okay, but then relying everything on your pastor, that is just... We move on, so...
No, let's talk about that. Like, all I'm going to say is this. Remember, and I love it when we're told this at church, you are your own prophet.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, you are your own prophet. Sometimes you don't need your pastor or XYZ to bring deliverance. Sometimes it's just you. Sometimes you just need to proclaim good things.
That's,
you know,
another thing.
Sometimes
you might put yourself in a situation that you're bringing yourself down that you don't even realize.
Mm.
Like we always say, the power of the tongue is so powerful that whatever that you proclaim, it will happen.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say bad things is going to happen, eventually it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But if you proclaim good things, then good things is going to happen. And that's why it's important to have a personal relationship with God, because if you're able to have the discernment to notice the things around you and the things that are off of the world and things are of God, then you'll be able to maintain that relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
But then in terms of a fellowship, I feel like that's important as well. Like, for example, we grew up in the same church, and not only that, we grew up in a fellowship, we grew up ourselves as well. Like, I remember an episode back, we was like, if we thought of the time we look back
yeah.
in the day, the way we used to be before, we'll never think like we'll be right here right now. Like mm-hmm. the person that we have developed mm-hmm. and changed through Christ, we'll never thought we'll be in this position.
Exactly.
But we thank God anyway. So
praise the hell most high. Yeah.
mm-hmm. So it's important to have a fellowship because it can help you to encourage you to read your word, to get closer to Christ. However, don't think of it as like you have to stay in that fellowship. If you feel like you need to like distance yourself and have a personal relationship with God, then go for it. Like
I say do it.
A personal Bible study or like start listening to gospel music, like anything personal with God, mm-hmm. I would say like, I don't know, like even 5 minutes a day
is yeah.
like enough.
Yeah.
Just to be connected with God. So both ways is very important, but just don't prioritize being in a fellowship over your personal relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Do you know what? There was a question on here, which I feel like we've already answered, of if it is personal, why must I be in a fellowship? But I feel like we've kind of answered that already.
Yeah.
In the sense that it's, you need a bit of both, but personal is a bit more important than fellowship.
Yeah.
But we don't want to undermine how important, you know.
Wait. Okay, wait, no, it's different now.
Okay.
It's like, for example, as a uni student,
mm-hmm.
there's, say like you're not in the same, for example, we're in different universities.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not something like we can like fellowship in uni because
mm-hmm.
we're in two different places. However, it's harder because like with uni, you have all these other temptations. There's drinking, partying, there's all that nonsense.
That's true.
So if you don't have like, I don't know, like a solid friend, like a friend that fellowships with you
mm-hmm.
or someone that can encourage with you or something like that, then it can get harder through time.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand like fellowships, like in situations of in a workplace or in university, it's kind of important because it can help you to remind you to build on your faith as well.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
On that, we have another, there's another question that we have that we've written down. Is it not possible for God to put someone in my life to help me?
It is very possible. Proclaim it in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
It's very possible. I told myself, foundation year, I told myself that, yeah, I'm going to find some Christian friends to help me build on my faith. So I found a few, but then I felt like it was not enough.
Mm.
But then I don't know what was wrong with me back in the day, but I felt like God was telling me that the people you have around you is more than enough. You didn't need a lot of people to, you don't need like a whole group
mm-hmm.
of people to like, to fellowship, like even like just one or two people, that is more than enough. Like the Bible says, when two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst of them.
Mm-hmm.
So you only need basically minimum
two or three
people. So now I'm like, I understood what God was trying to tell me. Like the people that he placed in my life was the people that I needed in order to build on my faith.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very possible to have someone to help you with your faith. It's very possible and it's very needed. I can't like,
because mm-hmm.
you never know sometimes you're going through a hard time and you never know that same person could go through the same problem or the same situation. So you'll be able to like help each other out whilst building on your faith as well. So God works in mysterious ways, but he can lead you to someone that can bring you more further than you never thought that you'd go.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And on that, I also believe that sometimes God puts people in your lives in ways you don't expect.
Ooh, yeah.
You know, like you don't automatically think, boom, someone's going to come to church, you know? We're going to be best friends. We're going to have such good fellowship. Or boom, someone's in my school. Oh, yeah, we go to like same, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's not like that. You know, you can meet people in the craziest ways, in the craziest situations, and God put you there in their life, right? What's a good, I want to give an example for myself personally. I can only bring go back to like recently. I'd like to speak about my friends from school, my sixth form friends, because It's so funny how initially I spoke to none of them. Like, we were not mates. You know when you're in school and everyone has their own groups? Yeah. We weren't in the same group. We were in very different groups. Oh. Right? I remember, God forgive me, innit? I've told them as well, like, I was a bit like, I don't feel like they're my kind of people, you know? They feel like they get into trouble. I'm trying to, you know? Mm. God forgive me, but... in loads of different ways we became like good friends, and then oh my gosh, you're Christian, yeah, me too. And then that's what started it off. Like, one example I can give, there was one person, we were in the same English class and we spoke but barely, and then I remember they did like a little talent show, we had like a little talent show, and I was like, oh my gosh, I need to get to know this person, because I was just like, nah, this person's cool. And we were just, you know, chatting. And then later on in the year, we realized, oh my gosh, we're both Christian. Duh. And we have a Christian society in my sixth form. I hope it's still there. And we realized that we're both coming, so we just kind of came close. Mm. And now we're really, really good friends, and it's a thing where we can now just communicate faith and love and all that kind of stuff to each other. I feel like that's just, it maybe might not be the greatest example, but it's just, God will give you someone if you need them. If you're really at that time, if you're in that place in your life where you need someone, God will give them to you. But I feel like God is also very careful of when. Like, God will give you a bunch of people in your life if he feels like you're ready for it as well.
Yeah.
Because if God feels like, okay, I want to give my child this person, it looks like they need it, but are they going to rely on them too much and stop relying on me?
Yeah, that's the thing.
And, you know, going back to the whole faith alone thing, it kind of undermines you doing your faith alone if you're only doing it when that person is there. Or it's so much of a thing where you're with that person, you're distracted from what you're actually trying to do. It goes back to Divine's point of what Divine was saying, is that we all have straight paths and we're all going to the same road. We're going to the same destination, but the paths look different.
Yeah.
Everyone's path looks different. If you're so focused on someone else's path, you accidentally stumble and start turning left, even though that person is going straight, you know? So are they going to be a distraction, or, you know, what's going to happen? It goes to that.
And that's a hard thing as well, because if you don't know what people are like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, say, like, to relate to, for example, Delilah and Samson. So Samson didn't know that Delilah was this, what's the word? Cunning, deceitful person. Samson thought that she was just a woman. And she was nice, so he married her. But even though throughout their marriage or their courting season or whatever, he still maintained that relationship with God. He still maintained his faith in God. And even though when Delilah was asking Samson to do stuff, he was not up for it because he knew that God wouldn't like that. So he didn't continue with that. So it's just a case where, like, be aware of the people that you befriend. Because you have to remember, like, God can put people in your life, but the devil can also put people in your life as well. So you need to be able to discern yourself which one is from God and which one is from the devil. Because the devil is used to deceive you, and you do not want to be deceived. So, which relates back to faith alone, to building on your faith in God, because the more you believe in God, that the people that bringing good energy, like proclaiming good stuff, just good environment, that's how you know it's from God.
Yeah.
But then when someone's acting a bit snaky or two-faced, is that the word?
Yeah, two-faced.
You know, just acting a bit like up and down, not necessarily like in a case where it's a mental problem, but in terms of like not being a good person, then that's when you need to, like, be careful with the certain people that you're surrounded with.
I agree. I agree. Sorry, oh, could I just...
We accidentally kind of delved into the second interpretation.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And then we kind of neglected the first one.
Do you realize?
So I feel like, I feel like we genuinely had... We explained quite well, you know, the whole faith alone, doing your faith alone,
yeah.
Fellowship and how to handle fellowship, you know, to embrace it, to be aware of the kind of fellowship you're in, the aware of the environment you're in, and also how to balance it with your relationship with God.
Mm.
But back to the other faith alone of believing, because I feel like you can be in a fellowship, but your faith is just, you don't believe that faith alone can work. You know, I feel like it's possible.
It's very possible.
Yeah.
I feel like it's something you have to experience yourself, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not all, every time you need to listen to someone, like, to... how can I say this? Anyone can say that it's possible to build your faith, blah, 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 blah. But if you don't put in the effort to do it,
mm-hmm.
then you're not going to experience it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best way I can say it. Because God can show you things on your own season.
Mm-hmm.
He can't show it to you on someone else's season
because
it doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. It has to be on a season that you're ready for and a season that you need to receive whatever that God wants to send you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a matter of like how consistently are you building your faith, basically.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what I think? I think a good example of that in the Bible is Abraham. I feel like he was very consistent in his faith.
He was very on it.
Because honestly, with what God was telling him to do, I feel like you need to have the faith. No, not all the things. Like the first thing that God told him, leave the country, leave where you are. Pack up your stuff and get out. I'm going to send you to the promised land.
Yeah.
You need to have faith to believe that.
Yeah.
You know, because like, what? Like, I'm just meant to just leave. I'm meant to leave my job. I'm meant to leave my house. Like, it was back then. But imagine now in this situation. Imagine if you built that house, you furnished it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You're leaving the people that you love. You're leaving your church. And you're going to the promised land. It's a bit hefty.
You just saying that just remind me of a movie that I watched years back. So it's, I believe it was a Nigerian movie. It's called God's Calling.
Mm.
So basically there's a woman who doesn't believe in God at all.
Mm.
Her dad doesn't believe in God and her mother does. So her mother has been encouraging them to get back into faith. So one day they went to church and then the pastor was preaching. And the pastor was saying, God is calling you.
Mm.
So he's obviously like, the pastor's talking to everyone in the congregation. But then she feels like the pastor was looking at her.
Yeah, like speaking directly to her.
And then she obviously like, out of instinct, like, why did you say that to me? Like, you can't do that. So that basically lowers her belief in God.
Okay.
Then she loses her child.
Oh.
So she loses her child that caused her to go into depression.
Okay.
Then they went to church again. The pastor said the same thing. God is calling you. Mm-hmm. Pick up your phone. God is calling you.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, she's like, if God is calling me, why is my child dead?
Mm.
Why is this happening? Then she basically, it's bad, but she got in a situation, which I will not say. She put herself in a situation where God saved her.
Okay.
And then that's when she finally picked up the phone and answered what God was trying to tell her.
Mm-hmm.
So from there, all the way to the end of the movie was basically her developing her friend, her faith.
Mm.
And she helped developing her friend faith in terms of her friend's marriage.
Mm.
She helped to improve her own marriage as well because her husband didn't believe in God as well following the wife. But then the husband started to believe in God as well.
Okay.
And then at the end of the movie, God told her to leave your home, leave everything, and go to this land.
Mm.
And whilst she received that, then that's when she felt sick. So she went to vomit and then she found out she was pregnant.
Mm.
So God gave her another child. So then that's when she felt like... Through that faith that she developed, through that prayer, through that despite the years of disbelief, just by believing and just having faith, she was able to have another child.
Mm-hmm.
And then when God told her to leave everything, people understood that God was preparing her for something.
Mm-hmm.
So I wish there was a second movie to see like how that developed. But the ending of that movie was amazing. It's called God's Calling.
Okay. I'm gonna see if I can find that.
It's really good.
But it even sounds a little similar to Abraham's.
That's what I'm saying.
Because, you know,
similar.
Abraham and Sarah waiting God knows how long to have a child, a legitimate child. Sorry, just saying that. A legitimate child. But not only that, every now and then when you think about Abraham, you're always thinking about how he brought his son Isaac and was about to kill him. It was like, do you know what? Yeah, because God said so, let me do it, you know?
Yeah, but he knew.
Because he knows, okay, that's an example of how his faith has brought him there. But let's go back to the whole leave your house, go to the promised land. He didn't have to do that. He must have had very strong faith in God in order to do that. That allows you. I think faith alone is the key to obedience.
Yes.
You know? Having that faith will allow you to be obedient in things that don't make sense to you. Mm. Because again, we don't understand the way that God thinks, because God's up there and we're just down here, you know? But yeah, it brings the key to obedience. And I feel like that's a really good example with Abraham. I also feel like it's a good example with Noah, in the sense where his faith, he was like, okay, cool. I need some milk. I need to make a boat. etc.
Imagine.
And people were heckling him as well.
Imagine just building that boat. Like, he received instruction from God on how to build the ark and everything. So like, I don't know what he was thinking throughout that whole service process of building the ark. But imagine, because I reckon it took him years. It took him years.
It must have taken a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
long, massive. Yeah.
But like, his faith, like, I don't know if it was going up or down. Was he doubting himself, like, throughout the process? Because,
I
like, because imagine you put in your, basically just waking up, building a part of the art, then go to sleep, and then the same process every day. Like, I don't know, like, thinking of today's society, we all, like, halfway, we might be feeling like, is this worth it? Are we meant to do this? But Noah actually continued, pushed on. He encouraged his sons to help. And they finished the ark, and I feel like Noah believed that God was going to save them from the flood,
which somehow. He did. Spoiler which alert!
Which he did. So, I believe that level of faith is good as well. When you're in a situation where you feel like giving up, but then you're still pressing on because you still believe that God will bring a good outcome from that situation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so one final question before we wrap up.
Mm-hmm.
How can I demonstrate my faith without just saying I have faith in God? I think there's unlimited amount of ways.
Live like Jesus.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, live like Jesus. It's not the same anymore. Because anyone can put a Bible verse on your story.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone can just like repost a preaching.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone can listen to a song. Anyone can do that. But just following the way Jesus did, I feel like it's hard to do in this generation.
Mm-hmm.
But just by following his footsteps is also growing your faith in God.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I think that's the most simplest way I can explain
it. Yeah. I don't know if you've seen, I had one, but then I lost it. Oh. I don't know if you've seen those people that have like the case or the wristband, which I had, the one that says WWJD. What would Jesus do?
Oh.
I had that because it's like every now and then I'm kind of like, oh yeah. Like, do you know what? Let me be quick. A good example, you know, when you're really like, something's really ticked you off, right?
Yeah.
Something's really annoyed you. And then, you know, oh, I just want to say something or I want to do something. But then you go like, stop. Wait a minute.
That's enough of it.
And then that's the reason why I had the wristband, because it was there. I had to see it.
Mm.
What would Jesus do? He would be slow to anger. Damn it.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I have to be slow to anger. Just calm down, and you know, it's okay.
You know what?
It's okay. I'm
another
okay.
thing that could help mm-hmm. Demonstrate on TikTok, there's like a hashtag that says Christian humor. Mm. I think that is very helpful.
Yeah.
Because there's so many scenarios. Oh my gosh, English. There's so many situations that you could be in.
Yeah.
But you'll see, like, you know, the humor is basically like what you would do. And then
yeah.
the reality is what God would want you to do.
Yeah.
And then it's funny because it's like you was in that situation mm-hmm. and then you just reminded yourself like, yeah, it's funny, but then it's better to follow God's way rather yeah. than doing your own work.
Yeah.
So it's like stuff like that is, it kind of helps. It's like a, I don't know, it's like a flashback.
A reminder. Like just a reminder. There.
Yeah. Because I remember with me, like, I tend to lose my temper. Mm-hmm. So whenever I see like a funny video, I'll be like, yeah, I'm so angry, like I'm gonna fight, and then you just see like the clouds pretending to be gonna be like,
don't do that,
don't do that, and I'm like, okay, cool. But yeah, stuff like that helps. And again, surrounding yourself with good people mm-hmm. that helps as well.
I agree.
So yeah,
that's a nice little finish, I guess.
Yeah,
I think we've basically summed up the two yeah. very well, which is great. So hopefully, I think I've learned a lot from you in both of the interpretations. I think I have like a clearer understanding of the two types of faith alone, whether it's my faith alone or my faith alone.
Yeah,
if that made sense. So yeah, any closing remarks?
What I want to say is talk.
Mm.
Just talk to God
mm-hmm.
about anything. Faith is also required communication.
Mm-hmm.
Without communication with God, we won't be able to form that personal relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you feel like you need to talk to him in private, I'll give you the secret. Put on your headphones or your earphones and just talk, and then obviously put some little breaks to make it seem like you're on the phone, but
that's a really good idea. Yeah,
because it will make you feel so much better.
It feels like a conversation.
Like, I remember last, it was just yesterday,
mm-hmm.
I was dropping off my niece to school, and then I was like, I need to talk, so I just put on my headphones. I was like, okay, cool. So I was like, hey God, like, I need to talk, I need to run a bit. Okay, so I was just like putting my emotions out there. And then some guys was just looking at me like I was looking crazy, but I'm like,
relax.
I'm on the phone.
Don't worry about me.
But I'm telling you, it's the best way to talk to God in public,
mm-hmm.
that I would say. Obviously not underground because you don't have service, but
yeah.
Yeah. It's the best way to talk to God, or have a journal. If you feel like you can't voice out your concerns, write it down. Because
mm-hmm.
God sees that.
Yeah.
God sees that. God sees that through your emotions and everything. So,
well, I guess we're done. So, thank you guys. You know, like, subscribe, and on Spotify or whatever, just make sure you subscribe to us so then you can keep up to date. We have our Instagram, of course, and we'll be on some other platforms soon. So yeah, just to keep up with us, and we'll have some little things on the side. We hope that you enjoyed it as much as I did. I hope you enjoyed it too.
I enjoyed it.
Till next time, which should be soon.
Yeah, very soon.
Should be soon.
Yeah.
But yeah, thanks. Bye.